You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
Let's take a trip to the moon. Come on, let's go for the moon. I want to go to the moon. Let's take a trip to the moon.
And now on the space show, we do turn our attention to the moon, where there's going to be a fair bout of activity this month. In September last year, on September the 6th, Japan launched a spacecraft called SLIM, S-L-I-M, and it went into orbit on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, depending which time zone you're in. It's planned to land on the moon on January the 19th, Universal Time. That'll be January the 20th at 2:20 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. Now, if it can't make that landing on January the 20th, there is a backup landing date of February the 16th. The landing site chosen is at 13.3 degrees south latitude and 25.2 degrees east longitude. Now, that's near Scioli Crater, which is a 270-metre diameter crater, which in turn is inside Cyrillus Crater, which is 93 kilometres in diameter. Now, in addition to the actual SLIM spacecraft, there's a hopper, which is called Lunar Excursion Vehicle 1, and it contains a thermometer, a radiation monitor, and an inclinometer. And its aim is to hop, just like a rabbit, across the moon. Not very far, but it's some distance away from the lander. And there's another rover called a Shape Changer. This is called Lunar Excursion Vehicle Number 2, otherwise known as SORA-Q. It has two cameras, and it's designed by the children's toy manufacturer, Tomy. So that's something to look forward to in mid-January, hopefully January the 20th, else it'll be in February. Meanwhile, NASA is looking towards launching a spacecraft called made by a company called Astrobiotic, and it's called Peregrine 1. Now, here's an extract from a press conference that was held at NASA last month.
Next up, we have Chris Colbert. Chris?
Thank you, Nilifer. As everybody is aware, the United States has not landed on the moon since the early 70s, more than 50 years ago. We've seen China and more recently India successfully land on the moon in the last decade, but to date, no private company has successfully landed on the moon. Landing on the moon is a daunting technical challenge, particularly for a robotic vehicle. Engines, navigation systems, radios, and many other subsystems all have to work together to enable a soft landing, and they need to do it without human intervention. We've witnessed a lot of robotic landing attempts that didn't get all these systems to work properly, and they ultimately failed. Beyond the technical challenges, there are also significant logistics and management challenges to get all the parts purchased, manufactured, tested, and ultimately built and integrated into a lunar lander. It's one thing for the resources of a national agency such as NASA or Indian Space Agency to be applied to these management challenges, but NASA is asking small commercial companies with a fraction of the size and resources to solve both the technical and management challenges. Over the last 4 years since we've awarded this task order, we've been both pleased and impressed with how Astrobotic and other FITS vendors have responded to these challenges. They've brought innovative solutions to the table, and we believe they have made reasonable choices about managing risk during the mission. Could they still fail? Sure. Spaceflight's hard, and it's a very unforgiving business. Even small mistakes can have huge consequences. NASA leadership is aware of the risk and has accepted that some of these missions might not succeed. But even if every landing isn't successful, CLPS has already had an impact on the commercial infrastructure needed to establish a lunar economy. We are enabling new supply chains that will benefit the entire aerospace industry. Other agencies such as DOD will have access to thrusters that were previously not available. Traditional aerospace players will be able to buy tanks and other subsystem components from sources that weren't previously available to them. the entire industry will have access to test stands and test facilities that didn't previously exist. These CLPS companies are not just building landers to deliver NASA payloads to the moon. They're bringing their innovative ideas to bids on other DoD projects, on other NASA work. And they're looking and creating commercial opportunities that we couldn't even envision 5 years ago. These companies are now viable partners in the aerospace industry. Even before we achieve our primary goal of landing payloads to the moon, CLPS is succeeding in helping to establish a lunar economy led by American companies. I look forward to Astrobotics' launch attempt next month.
Thank you so much, Chris. So we'll now hand it over to our CLPS provider, Astrobotic, and their CEO, John Thornton. John?
Astrobotic got started to make space accessible to the world 16 years ago. I've been with the company since the very beginning, and to stand at the precipice of our historic first mission is truly awe-inspiring and humbling and a real testament to all of the hard work of all of the hundreds and even thousands of people that have touched the mission over the years. We actually made our first commercial payload sale for lunar delivery, and I believe it might have been one of the first in the world back in 2014. And since then, we've been collecting payload customers and building up the manifest for this mission that is flying imminently. And we're incredibly excited to have CLPS as part of that. That really was the enabler to make this mission viable and possible. And here we are standing on the precipice of launch. This is our first lunar lander mission scheduled for December 24th launch, and landing is scheduled for January 25th. It's going to be a wild, wild ride. I'm really looking forward to finally getting to space and taking our shot at the moon here. This is going to be the first of many. We're going to be bringing seven nations to the surface of the moon, six of which have not touched down softly on the surface of the moon, including the UK, Mexico, Germany, Hungary, Japan, and Seychelles. We've got 20 payloads on board this mission, and really it encapsulates the dreams of many thousands of people, between the people at Astrobotic to our subcontractors, to our payload providers, to our partners at NASA, all together on this one launch. So I know that our engineers have done everything possible to make this a successful mission. We've gone through all of our environmental testing, learned a lot through that, and it's just so exciting. I was just down in Florida a week and a half ago and saw that the vehicle integrated onto the launch vehicle, and so excited that dream is now a reality.
Christmas Eve in Florida. Thank you so much, John. And finally, over to you, Haley. Haley?
This is Haley from Astrobotic. So I joined Astrobotic about 4.5 years ago, right after the 2019 TO2 CLPS Award, and started working with our NASA customers and our commercial customers very closely, integrating the payloads onto the spacecraft, designing the interfaces, eventually installing them to the spacecraft, working with all of their teams to get ready for mission operations. And then in the coming weeks, I'll be working directly with all of the NASA and commercial teams in the Mission Operations Center.
Wonderful. Thanks to our briefers for those initial remarks.
Now, that planned landing is going to be near Mare Imbrium. It's actually in Oceanus Procellarum, or otherwise known as the Ocean of Storms, at 36.3 degrees north and 319.8 degrees east. And we'll tell you more about that in future space shows. But the launch at the moment has been changed from what it was. Now, here's a little feature about the dates, which has now been superseded.
Yeah, good question. So our initial launch window is December 24th at around 1:50-ish a.m. And we do have a subsequent window on the 25th and 26th. All three of those launch days coincide with a January 25th landing. And basically all we do to change is change how long we loiter in orbit. So that landing time and date is fixed the moment that we launch. And that is because all of our sensors and all of the mission profile is set up to land at a specific site at a specific time to be successful for our payloads.
So the launch now is planned for January the 8th at 7:18 Universal Time. So if you add 11 hours to that, doing a quick calculation, it's 18:18. So at 18 minutes past 6 on January the 8th, launch from Cape Canaveral by a Vulcan Centaur rocket. And the landing is going to be near the Gruithuisen domes. And now I've got a source that says the landing is going to be on Gamma. The domes have got different names. One of them is called Gamma, which as you look at it on a map, it's the left-hand dome, which is 20 kilometres in diameter and 1,500 metres high and has a crater at its crest. But another source says that it's going to be landing beside the dome, not on it. So we'll see what actually happens. The domes, by the way, are named after Franz von Gruithuisen, who lived from 1774 to 1852. And he wrote a book about his discoveries of, wait for it, buildings and other evidence of life on the moon. Yes, the moon life nutters date back to the early 1800s. Well, here's a little feature about how the Peregrine lander got its name.
So this is John at Astrobotic. Peregrine is the fastest flying bird on Earth, and we thought that that would be an appropriate name for a lander flying down to the surface of the moon. It does involve incredible speeds to make that happen, to get out to the surface. So we thought it was an appropriate name for the lander.
Now, a spacecraft called Luna 1 was launched by the Soviet Union 65 years ago yesterday with the intention of impacting on the moon. Now, the singer here is a confused person, is in a confused state of mind, and like Luna 1, is flying nowhere in empty space. Just a reminder that Luna 1 missed the moon and became the first artificial planet.
Thank you.
written this last year. Yes, it's 2024 now. Written last year in Russia, that was Dernoy Vukas with Luna 1, which was launched 65 years ago yesterday with the intention of hitting the moon, not landing softly on it, but hitting the moon. But it missed the moon and became the first artificial planet, renamed Metsha, which means planet. This is The Space Show.
88.3 Southern FM.